Right, 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. Now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now bands of raiders from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." Verse 8. When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message. "Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, "Go, wash yourselves 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed." Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abarma and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed?" So he turned and went off in a rage. Naaman's servants went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then, when he tells you, wash and be cleansed?" So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We now have a reading from Hebrews 11, that great chapter based on the faith of those that have gone before us. I'm starting to read at verse 29. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who, through faith, conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what they had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us they would be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Oh Lord, just take your word and bring it alive now. Quicken our spirit, speak to us with power, and change us, Lord. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, I've got to start this sermon a bit of a dull note, I'm afraid. I've got to give you a warning. It's a health warning. But I should actually have put above it a spiritual health warning. For I've read the whole of Hebrews. It's an exciting book, by the way, if you've ever sat there and read it. Oh, yes. I didn't read it in one go, but I read it in chunks. The health warning comes in chapter 2 of this book. We must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we don't drift away. We must pay most careful attention to what we've heard so that we don't drift away. So there he was, on the edge of an abseiling tower. He was roped. He must have been about 11, I suspect. It was an outward bound. He must have been about 11, I suspect. It was an outward bound weekend. He didn't really want to do the abseiling bit, but okay, if it was part of the package, he would do it. But fear gripped him. Oh yes, he believed he could do it. But he was not prepared to take a step of... But he was not prepared to take a step of faith. Here he was stepping into the unknown. He was outside his comfort zone and was riddled with doubt. Well, I told him to go down because an eye wasn't going to pull him up. And if he didn't move, we'd be there the whole night just looking at each other. Now, I guess one of us would have suddenly fallen asleep. So I spoke to him gently. I encouraged him. I said, do you trust me? That's the nearest I've got to trust. Do you trust me? Oh, yes, was his reply. Well, why don't you take the step of faith and go down it? Out came the excuses, didn't I? Well, I might slip, or I might fall and smash my head into the wall. The rope might break. And this was the one that got me. Well, you might let me go. And so on. Eventually, he took his first tentative step. The second one was easier. And so on. When he reached the bottom, surprise, surprise, what did he do? Raced all the way up, and there he was, right next to me. He wanted another go. Naaman in our Old Testament reading was a little bit similar to our little lad on the Absalom Tower. We read this about him, that he was the commander of the RM army. He was an important guy. He was powerful. And as we know, he was told he had leprosy. And he was told to go and see the prophet. Well, the king, and then that passed on to the prophet. But I'm not going there this morning. And what does Elisha do? Can you believe it? Elisha says, go out and tell him to dip himself 7 times in the River Jordan. You'll be all right. How would you have felt if someone had come out to you? If the church leader had sent somebody out to you? How would you have felt? Naaman was not pleased. We read, but Naaman went away angry. I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God. Wave his hand over me and cure me of my leprosy. God, the rivers in my country are far cleaner and better than this dirty, filthy Jordan. Oh, no. I wonder if at times we're a little bit like that. So he took his servants, the humble people, to say, look here. If he asked you to do something great, you would have done it. But he's asking you something simple. Go and dip in the River Jordan 7 times. So what did he do? We read. He went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times. And as the man of God had told him, his flesh was restored and he became clean like that of a young boy. Wow. Until Naaman took his step of faith, nothing was going to happen. I'm going to say that again because it's so important. Until he took his step of faith, nothing will happen. Now, faith is interestingly something we exercise every day. I mean, you came in here, didn't you? You sat down. You didn't check the chair that it was going to collapse on you, did you? Oh, no. You just exercise faith. Later on, you're going to have a drink over there. How do you know it's not poisoned? By the way, it's not. But how do you know it's not poisoned? You don't know. You take it on faith that the charming ladies behind the counter will serve you a wholesome coffee, tea, or whatever. Now, I guess many of you go on a bus. There the 700 comes through. There it says Chichester, and I'm at the bus stop. How do I know it's going to Chichester? I don't. I don't actually know. He says it on the front, but I don't actually know. I believe it because it says so. And I trust the bus company, Stagecoach. So I take my step of faith and get on the bus. And surprise, surprise, it takes me to, on this occasion, to Chichester. Now concerning belief, let's look at that for a moment. It's a fact. We can believe what we like, but belief on its own will get us nowhere. It's the taping of steps of faith that matter. Look what James says. I just love this one. I love the book of James. It's so practical and down to earth. He says in 2:19, you believe there's one God? Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. But I don't know about you, I've not noticed it makes any difference to demons. No. Now, interestingly, in the preceding verses, we read these exciting words. What good is it, my brother, if a man claims to have faith but no deeds? Can faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister comes without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about it, what good's that? What's the point? In the same way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. And this is the verse. But someone will say, you've faith and I've got deeds. Show me your faith without your deeds and I will show you my faith by what I do. So I then decided to have a look at the word faith. I looked in Chambers' dictionary, quite a good one, I believe. Trust or confidence, belief in a statement of another, belief in the truth of revealed religion, and so on. Then I looked at the biblical definition of faith, which is at the beginning of chapter 11, which wasn't read this morning. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for, and certainly what we don't see. This is what the ancients were commended for. So faith is not based on evidence we can see. It's based on invisible evidence. For a Christian, it's based on what God has said in his word, found in the Bible. Faith is vital to living the Christian life and growing as a Christian. Here's one way that may help somebody remember faith. Not original, it's not mine. There you are, there's faith. Forgetting all, I trust him. All, I found another one. Forsaking all, I trust him. That might help or might not help somewhere here. But for so many Christians, faith's a bit of a problem. Come on, let's be honest. We want God to bless us, and then we take the step of faith. Oh, no, it don't work like that. Oh, no. We take the step of faith, and then God will do the blessing. God will only really become real in our lives when we take steps of faith. Hebrews 11, 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he wants to reward those who earnestly seek him. So if you don't believe there's a God, you can't get anywhere. You've got to first of all believe there is God. And Christian faith can only be exercised when a person acknowledges that God exists and that they have a relationship with his Son, Jesus Christ. I want to remind you about my health warning, my spiritual health warning. It's not mine, it's the writer to the Hebrews. We must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we've heard. This is the bit, so that we do not drift away. So we look at our reading this morning. It's full of examples, isn't it, of people of faith, as well as in the early bit, verses 1 to 28. Me being me, I couldn't resist counting how many times the word faith was used. I wonder if you've any idea how many. Well, I got a bit lost when I was doing my counting, but it's at least 22, if not more. Wow. So the question floated into my mind, why was faith mentioned so many times? Why did he bang on about it? Faith, faith, faith. These are all the examples of faith. Why? At this point, too, in his letter, he could have mentioned any time. Why was it at this point in his letter? Now, I'm passionate, I better add to that, please. Now, I'm passionate that we read Scripture within its context, its political situation, what was going on at the time, the cultural situation, the economic situation, the social situation, the laws of the time, and so on, when the letter was written. Because Scripture comes alive when we understand that. But a strange thing happened to me. I was led down a slightly different route. And I was led in my preparation to look at what was going on in the 10 chapters before we reach faith. Why did he talk about faith then? And what on earth was going on before? Excuse me. So this morning, we are going to be like some American tourists who do Europe in a week. We're going on a whistle-stop tour of the first 10 chapters of Hebrews. Are you ready? Off we go. Chapter 1. Don't worry, I'm not going to speak for hours on each one. Just pithy. Chapter 1. He focuses on Jesus and his angels. We read, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. A bit further on, so he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to them. Chapter 2, we have our health warning. Don't drift away, watch out. But then he states that Jesus was really human. He was like you and me. Look, we read, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he may break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. Chapter 3, we're getting there. Chapter 3, he reminds them that Jesus is the high priest. But wait a minute, in chapter 3 there's another warning. Here it is. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage, it's a lovely word that, encourage one another daily as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Chapter 4, there's another warning. I didn't know all this went on, these warnings, but they're there. Here we are. Here's the next warning. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the good news proclaimed to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value, because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. Then in chapter 5, he speaks about Jesus again. Chapter 6, are you ready for this? Another warning. It is impossible for those who've once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who've shared in the Holy Spirit, who've tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of this coming age, who've fallen away, wait for it, to be brought back to repentance. To the loss, their loss, they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting him to public disgrace. Chapter 7, Jesus is our high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Chapter 8, Jesus is the high priest of a new covenant. Chapter 9, it speaks of the blood of Jesus. In chapter 10, almost there now, Christ has sacrificed himself once for all. And then there's the call to persevere in faith. And so we come to the last verse of chapter 10. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. So what's the writer to the Hebrews saying in the first 10 chapters? I believe this, that everything's about Jesus. It's all about Jesus and what he's done and how he secured our freedom from going to hell. But there are warnings there too, as I've read to you. And I believe God is saying this morning, don't mess about with me. I am God. Oh yes, he's a God of love. Oh, of course he is. But my friends, he's a God of justice. And I have to say that. Then we reach chapter 11, where we see the importance of faith. But the question remains, why is faith so important? Why did he go on about it? Well, all is revealed in the first three verses of chapter 12. It's a marvelous word. Are you ready for it? Therefore. Do you know, I just love the therefores and the buts of the Bible. They're absolutely great because we know that something fantastic is going to follow them. But when you use therefore and but, and I use therefore and but, oh, there's a negative coming. For example, oh, you can come on the outing, but you have to pay for yourself. I would love you to help me in the kitchen. Therefore, go and put out the muck and the mess and wash the floor and do the dishes. And all you want to do is cook. In the Bible, however, the words always followed by something positive. Just two examples. Therefore, you ready for this? If anyone is in Christ Jesus, he's a new creation. Wow. The old's gone, the new has come. Sorry. And 1 Corinthians, but Christ has indeed been raised. He has been raised from the dead and the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. My apologies. So the first 11 chapters of Hebrews are leading up to these verses. I want to read them to you as I conclude. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, I mean, what more evidence do you want, he's actually saying? You know, we've got all these witnesses. What more do you want? Let's throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, he's scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God, at the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. That's all I've got to say. Let God's word speak to you and to me this morning. Are we taking heed of those warnings? Are we encouraged that it's all about Jesus? Not about you, not about me. But it's about Jesus and giving glory to him. Amen. Let's just be still and just ask the Lord what he's saying to you this morning. And how are you going to respond to what he's saying? What are you going to do about it? Lord, I thank you as I preached this morning. If there are 100 people here, Lord, you've spoken to the 100 people in different ways. That's the exciting thing, Lord. I've had people say to me, Lord, John, you said, and I didn't say, but it was God saying it through me. And I just pray now that we will respond to what God has said to us this morning through his word. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Let us go out with a lovely doxology from the end of the book of Jude. To him who is able to keep us from falling and to present us before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power, and authority. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. May the Lord bless you today. Thank you.